Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And yes, the pickle bar is second to none. Live on the barrels and the dills. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Before we get to John Crispin from Fox and BTN, our play-by-play call of the day.
Got it over to Kevin Durant. Down the right side, KD for 20,000. Got it! On the left wing. He becomes the fifth player in NBA history to get to 20,000 points under the age of 30. And what an elite group it is. LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Wilt Chamberlain, and Michael Jordan.
Indeed, the beat goes on for Kevin Durant with the Golden State Warriors between the Supersonics, Oklahoma City, and now Golden State. Better than 20,000 points. Remarkable. All right, with that, let's talk some basketball now. John Crispin, Fox, BTN. My old friend, great to hear from you again.
Hey, it's good to be on. Hey, word is, and I'm a little slow on social media, so I'm sorry if I missed it. You just celebrated a birthday, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes, okay.
Another. No. Don't try to hide from this, because, you know, there are phases of birthdays. You know, there's the young kids that we get excited to celebrate. Then there's the kind of teenagers to 35, you only celebrate just to make sure they know they're important. And then there's the ones that, like, where I'm at, I'm just trying to forget that it's even another year. It's like a ticking clock going in the wrong direction. Where are you at? That's what
my,
I want to know.
Voice of experience. How about that? Voice of experience. We'll try that one. My goodness, I did your games. For goodness sakes.
I know, man. Hey. A lot of people should be celebrating you. You served that community really well. You served the university well. So I want to say thank you for everything you've done. You made us sound good, too, in a lot of ugly games.
About that. That's okay. You got to the Sweet 16. There's some pretty games in there, too. I want to start with the Big Ten overall. You've seen a lot of teams in person. So, and I use the words sample size. I've used it a few times here recently. But now we do have a sample size of games. We're 5-6 games deep into the conference. What do you see taking shape? How bunched up is this?
You know, it's really hard because I think Michigan and Ohio State are starting to separate themselves. But when we normally saw a middle of a pack that was like 3-7, 8, 9, it really seems to be 3-4. It's hard to say who the middle of the pack is right now. And that's why I think it's wide open. It's wide open for teams like Northwestern who have not looked good but have experience. It's wide open for teams like Penn State and Nebraska, who we'll see tonight, that have great talent but have not yet realized their potential. So I think the basement's been elevated too, and not enough people in the country are talking about that. They just talk about, well, the Big Ten's down, it's a bad year. Well, it's not a bad year because it's going to be one of the most competitive years we've ever seen because of the fact that, you know, one bad game could easily lead into two, could easily lead into three, because there's no easy games out there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Ohio State doesn't have a lot of numbers, but, you know, you and I both know the top five or six guys they have are pretty good. What kind of job has Holtman done with them so far?
Well, I think first and foremost, you've got to look at the guys that are no longer there. And I think it's out, but when you're a bad energy guy, you know, a Jaquan Lyle, a Mark Loving, you do more than just hurt your team. You really kill the potential of some of the pieces that are there. So I don't think we got to see the potential of the team last year with that negative energy. This year, Chris Holtman, he's got good guys.
Yeah.
He's got guys that have bought into the foundational principles and the fundamentals of basketball, And when they win, when they have success, you know, they don't have a bad loss on their record. They've been competitive since the start of the season. When they win and you go ahead and beat Michigan State doing those good, simple things, right, the buy-in gets even better. And I think you're seeing a bench get developed. But, you know, he's using the bench sparingly, which you got to do. Look, we were there in 2000, 2001. There were games we played seven guys.
Right.
You know, and you've got to use your bench in a way that maximizes the potential of your starting group, but also the group that you bring in. So you've got to be careful how you use your bench. And I think that's what he's done as well as anything else. Other than just bringing in fundamentals and principles that are, you know, tested, tried, and true, he's got everybody on that team, not just the guys on the floor for 30-plus minutes, but the guys that don't even play are bought into the potential and success of this program.
Well, you and I have been around practices and locker rooms our entire careers, John. You and I both know the value. You can have addition by subtraction. The fans get enamored by talent. They don't understand sometimes chemistry and sometimes, you know, a guy that just doesn't fit and doesn't want to be there.
Crush it.
Absolutely. And you look at guys who don't make their team better, that's an issue. I don't care how talented you are. If you don't make your team better,
right.
And making your team better is not scoring a ton of points. It is bringing the right kind of energy. It is being a winner. And winner is not just the guy that wins or loses games. A winner is the guy that wins in everything he does. And that's contagious as much as a cancer in the locker room is.
Michigan's interesting that you brought them up. Michigan is, I think, a contradiction to people who don't know the numbers. Their defensive points per possession, outstanding. They're in the top 15, but they also don't play at a quick pace. They're in the bottom 10 in terms of pace. When you watch them, discuss the issue. The way they're playing right now.
Well, you first have to ask the question why, and the answer is no Derek Walt Jr.
That's right.
John Beilein had a lot of trust in the guy that had the basketball in his hand. And he doesn't have that yet. So if you don't have trust in the guy to make plays and make good decisions,
slow it down.
You have to limit. Yeah, you have to slow it down. You have to limit the amount of hard decisions and quick decisions that a young point guard has to make until he earns a little bit more leash. So I think that's what you're seeing. You're seeing John Beilein trust his system and trust the five guys on the floor more so than trust the individual with the basketball. I think it's the right move. I mean, it's absolutely the right move because he's trying to answer questions as much as win games as anything else. He knows he's got players. He knows he's got guys like Mo Wagner who can make plays, who can win a basketball game from the five position. But he doesn't have a guy and a point guard that he can just hand the ball to and say, go ahead, make good decisions, and win us a basketball game.
Tonight you've got Penn State, obviously, and Nebraska. Let's start with, obviously, Penn State. No Josh Reeves against Indiana. Don't know about tonight. As of last night, his status had not changed. When you watch Reeves and then watch the others around him, what impresses you about Reeves, and then what can Penn State do without him?
You know, it's really hard because what I love about Josh Reeves is the fact that he does everything that you could ask him to do on the court, and then he does even more when it comes to the type of energy that he brings. And it's, I never thought I'd be that guy who goes all like, you know, Phil Jackson and talking about energy and all that stuff, but when you watch it, energy is what leads to chemistry on the floor. And if the guy with the best energy is the best player on the floor, those are the teams that can be championship-caliber teams. So Josh Reeves brings the best energy on the floor, no doubt. I think Jabari Wheeler's following suit, too. They bring great energy. They're positive. When a teammate makes a play, he's the first one to chest bump. And you don't realize the importance of that until you see a team that doesn't have it. And I think that's the biggest issue with this Penn State team without Josh Reeves is where does the energy come from? Because this is not a knock on Tony Carr. I'm going to tell you straight out, Tony Carr is the best player on the floor, but he may not make his team the best. And I think that's the biggest challenge is how do you get the most in terms of a positive energy out of your best players? A guy who thinks that his most important role is scoring points. It's a challenge. I'm glad I'm not coaching.
All right, aren't we all? I feel very secure in the spot I'm in. Which then brings me to Mike Watkins. You've now watched him over the last 2 years develop. What has impressed you about his development?
Well, first and foremost is poise.
Yeah.
I don't know. Look, I played with Jared Stevens, and I love Jared. I always tell people he was the best post player I've ever played with, mainly because he was undersized and he learned how to do it. But he also learned how to play with guards. That's a challenge. It really is a challenge. And remember, Jarrett led the Big Ten scoring senior year with Joe right behind him. So we had two of the top scorers in the Big Ten, you know, at 17, 18 points a game. That says a lot, not only about, you know, our ability to shoot the basketball, but for Jarrett's ability to play within a guard system. And right now, there's no doubt about it. Look, guards are going to take the most shots on this Penn State team. He may not even get a look in the first half at times. It takes time for him to get his. But he's patient. He's poised. He never gets too high or too low. And I think you need that from a big guy. Big guys who get too high, they get in foul trouble. Big guys who get too low, they're not productive. So he's like the perfect big, in my opinion. Plus, you know me, I like a big that's not going to call for the ball every time down floor.
Yeah. Oh, I know that. I remember that graphically. Now let's flip it to the other side. No Jordy Chimunga tonight because he didn't make the trip for Nebraska, and we don't know what his status is going to be. They've started the same lineup all 18 games. He actually was, I think, coming off his best game. He had 9-6 against Wisconsin. Not bad. Not great, but not bad either. What does that do to chemistry with Nebraska when you watch them?
All right, look, this is going to sound weird, and I would be crazy as a coach, but I think it's good, and here's why. For Nebraska, it's good because their best lineup is a lineup that they need to figure out how to play more with, and they need to figure out how to defend with, they need to figure out how to rebound with a lineup that has Isaiah Roby at the five, yeah. Isaac Copeland, James Palmer Jr., Anton Gill, and Glenn Watson. Those five right there are as talented as any five in the conference. And they just have to focus on doing what they do in the small lineup. It's kind of like the Golden State Warriors death squad. They're small, but if you can figure out how to defend with that lineup and rebound, then you're going to be a really tough lineup to match up against. So I think this gives Tim Miles an opportunity to play that group even more, because if they're going to be an NCAA tournament team, it's not going to be because of Jordy Chimunga.
Right.
It's just not. It's going to be because of the ability that five guys playing on the outside working in have, so long as they can defend.
You made the move over to Fox and BTN, John. And one thing you always are, you're always John Crispin when you're on. How important has that been to you that you're allowed to be John Crispin and not always have to follow a formula?
You have no idea how important that is. And look, I met with other networks, you know, in the past season when it was a contract year for me. And what I was told was that, you know, I don't have to work for the coaches. And I go, what do you mean work for the coaches? You don't have to work for the coaches or the referees. I said, no, you're mistaken thinking that because I'm not overly critical, I'm not being honest. I just believe in having perspective. And I believe the perspective that I have as a player, as a guy who's been around multiple programs, who gets to go to practice, is that there's far more going on below the surface than we even know. Even I know that, and I'm around. So if I can bring that perspective to the game, I think I can serve the game well. And that means it allows me not to be outlandish. It allows me to not have to be over the top and tweet and say things that I don't actually believe. It allows me to be honest. And the focus is on trying to serve the game well. I mean, this game's going to be around a lot longer than I am. I just hope I can make it a little bit better and inform as much as possible. But also make it fair for everybody. I mean, fans at home get mad when their team loses and they want somebody to blame. Well, fact of the matter is there's a lot of gray area out there, and it's no one person to blame. It is just a situation where sports are crazy, and there are a million things going on beneath the surface. I just hope to be able to give you a little bit of perspective on it and maybe calm some folks down along the way.
You do, John. It's always a pleasure, my friend. I'll see you a little bit later.
Yeah, hopefully. Traffic's great with this rain, so I hope I make it.
Oh, no, you should be just fine. Remember, you know from your time in State College, there's a rush minute. Just avoid it.
I'll get there. I'll see you later, my friend.
John Crispin of BTN. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
A lot of things will change over the next 6 years.
But not the interest rate on your new Kia.
In 2024, you'll still be at 0%. In fact,
fact, your interest rate will stay at 0% for more than 6 years.
75 months.
Come into Sunbury Motors Kia now for 0% financing for up to 75 months on 2018 Kia Fortes, Optimus, Sportages, and Serenos. See for yourself why Kia offers America's best value with an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and the highest brand ranking in J.D. Power's initial quality test for the second straight year. Plus, now, make no payments for 3 months and get 0% financing for up to 75 months. Value is back at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Offers available to qualified buyers who came at financing in lieu of rebates. Offer expires 1/31/18. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com. For J.D. Power award information, visit JDPower.com. See dealer for details.
All right, great to have you back with us on the show today. Picks in the final half hour, looking forward to that. Great to hear from John Crispin. He'll work the game tonight with Brandon Gowden on BTN. Chris, are you all geared up for the pick 'em segment?
Oh, I'm totally ready. I love picking. Love it.
Well, Cotrillo stepped in and he was terrific.
At picking or just in general?
Yeah, picking. Oh. No, he stepped in, but when we did the pick'em, he was great.
When was that? Last week?
Because
I know me and him were both wrong on Tennessee. We were talking Saturday morning, and we both thought that it was the only lock of the weekend was Tennessee.
Right. Losing to Kansas City. Losing to Kansas City,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Our only lock of the weekend. I said that, in my opinion, the only slam dunk going in was the Chiefs were going to beat the snot out of Tennessee, and it just didn't happen. It looked like it at halftime, but it just didn't happen.
Well, it was 21-3 at the break.
Yeah,
21-3 at the break. Amazing.
I shut it off, and then I had it on in the background, and I saw the Mariota self touchdown pass, and I thought to myself, oh, that's a fun play. At least they're making it interesting. And then before I looked up again, and it was 22-21, and I'm like, what? What happened?
That's amazing. Now, we're going to pick the four this weekend, which will be Philadelphia and Atlanta. And then the night game will be the Patriots and the Titans. That will be on Saturday night. And then on Sunday, the Steelers will take on the Jags. Sean's going to be there for that one.
Dying with every snap.
Oh, he'll be fine. They'll shut him out. They'll shut them out.
Who's going to shut? You think the Steelers are going to shut the Jags out?
Oh, my goodness. Jacksonville could be on a 10-play drive in the parking lot right now and still not score.
I don't know. I mean, they may not score a lot, but the Steelers aren't going to score a lot either. So, I mean, it's only going to take that one. You know, Ben Roethlisberger,
Chris,
is prone.
I think the Steelers are going to kill them.
Roethlisberger's prone to the four interception game, and you're dealing with possibly the best secondary in football right now. I mean,
the Steelers are going to crush them.
All right. I hope you're right. I hope you're right for Sean Kerry's sake. I hope you're right.
They're going to crush him.
Okay.
Seriously.
Okay.
And then I think the best game of the weekend is Minnesota and the Saints.
I agree with you there completely. And I honestly believe whoever wins that game will go to the Super Bowl to represent the NFC. I believe in the Falcons being the defending NFC championship team, but... I don't know.
Yeah, sure. No, I know. They play well. You know what? The funny thing is, though, they're not really the same as last year. I think they've done the right thing of getting Vic Beasley back to being a pass rusher. I also think that they need to be more consistent in the passing game. Not Matt Ryan throwing the ball, but catching the ball. They've had a lot of drops this year. A lot of drops.
Yep. Agreed. Julio Jones, which is surprising because... Julio Jones is a monster.
Yeah, except when I did Penn State, Alabama back in 2010, I remember going through the scouting report on him and talking to some of the Alabama people, and they all said the same thing. They said he drops the ball too much. And that's something I thought he'd overcome in the NFL.
Yeah, well,
so we'll see.
But, I mean, he has in his career thus far. It's just this year it's kind of maybe it's a little more obvious this year because they've relied on him a little more. You know, the offense wasn't as stout as it was last year. As productive, so maybe that's why. I don't know. He only had one touchdown catch this year, right? Wasn't his first one in the playoff game? Wasn't that his first touchdown
catch? That I don't know. I don't have Atlanta stats. I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty bleak on the touchdown front for Julio Jones this year, so.
Well, they got Philadelphia tomorrow.
Boy, that's...
And the one thing I'll say about this, all four playoff games, it's going to be brutally cold. But Minnesota doesn't matter. They're indoors.
Right.
Jacksonville, Southern team has to play at Pittsburgh, brutally cold. Tennessee, decently warm weather team, has to go to New England and play the Patriots up in Foxborough. Atlanta, dome team, has to play at Philadelphia.
Now, I give Tennessee a little bit of a head nod there because they won in a brutally cold game in Kansas City.
They have no shot.
Especially with an angry hoodie over there in Boston. After all the articles.
They have no chance. The only reason they have a chance is that they're playing.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. I mean, I never bet against the Patriots. I've learned. I even learned that halftime of the Super Bowl last year that I'm like, oh, the Patriots are going to get slaughtered, and then what happens?
Right. Well, I just don't see it. I just don't see them having a shot in this game. I just think New England's just that much better. But we'll see. I mean, we'll have the official picks coming up.
Yes.
We've only teased it.
Yes.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestic microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. And the pickle bar is absolutely second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. Stock up for the playoffs tonight. It's warm now.
Yeah, I'm going to go
out there. So if you're all stocked up now on your snacks, your beer, your wine coolers, your water, your pickle bar, you'll be set for the whole weekend. Mm-hmm. Hunker down and enjoy. Be great if you drove over there, though, in a great Sunbury Motors vehicle. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, it's playoff weekend. And if it's playoff weekend, I want to make sure you are fully stocked. It's very important. It's going to get cold. It's 64 degrees here today. I have the windows open here in the Sunbury Motors Studio today. I want to get some fresh air in.
Crazy.
Because as of tomorrow, back to the deep freeze. I'm going to do the Nebraska game tonight at the Jordan Center. And the temperature is going to be a little bit different when I walk out of the Jordan Center tonight. And it's going to be 1 degree Sunday morning.
Yikes.
So that means a trip to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Why? Well, you want to be fully stocked. I mean, do you really want to go out? Go tonight. It's nice and warm. You can carry the cases to the car. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. Load up on the snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. And the pickle bar, cha-ching, is second to none. Led by the barrels and the dills. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Chris is going after the show. He's all sold now.
I'm totally sold. You sold me. Yeah, at the pickle bar. I was there. So
You're in, my man.
I'm in.
They will treat you and everyone else like gold.
I can't wait.
Drive over there in a Sunbury Motors vehicle, by the way. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. One quick announcement before we get going here, and that is Penn State football coach James Franklin has announced that David Corley has been hired as the running backs coach at Penn State. Most recently, the wide receivers coach at Army, but he has also coached running backs at two prior stops in his career. James says, dynamic football coach, great fit for the program. Says, I've gotten to know David over the last several years and followed his career closely. He's continuously impressed me with his drive and his passion for the game and recruiting. He has an infectious personality, competitiveness that will impact our running back room. People I respect in this profession think the world of David Corley and his family, and we feel that he'll be a tremendous addition to the Penn State community. He's really a good hire, too. I've been took a long look at David Corley earlier in the week myself on my own. I just wanted to get a good feel for him because I had a feeling that was the direction it was going in. And that's a top shelf hire. So that now gives Penn State a rounded staff of all 10 coaches now. This was the week you could then hire the 10th coach. What James Franklin did is he moved Phil Galliano up to become special teams and assistant to Sean Spencer with the defensive line. And Sean and Phil have known each other for years. And, of course, you know, Tyler Bowen at tight ends. Then, of course, Ricky Ronnie going to quarterbacks and offensive coordinator. So he decided to wait on the running backs coach till now, because he knew he had the other parts in place that he wanted. And David Corley gets the job, and so Penn State staff is complete. All right, Sean's on the road today because 94KX is celebrating its 40th anniversary.
Wow,
this week.
Old.
40th anniversary this week for 94KX. So they're having a big celebration tonight. He's over there. So he's actually working today and not taking the day off like the suit frequently did. All right, so with that, we bring in my brother who never takes a day off. Kev, how are you? Those are my picks?
How's it going?
Are those my picks?
Yeah, I've been waiting all week for that. No, that was Chris Fowler blowing the call at the end of the game.
Oh. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, you know what? I'm not perfect, so.
Yeah, you are. You don't blow big calls.
Well, I appreciate that. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Say hi to Chris, which I know you already have.
Yep. Hi, Chris.
Yes, me and Kevin made fast friends.
Yep.
Kevin makes friends with everyone.
That's right.
Man, my brother gets it done.
Try to, but not always. I have my brothers, so whatever. My brother, I didn't mean you. The people who don't pay me on time, So,
well, now, wait a minute, okay? They deserve to have a little, excuse me.
They make my life miserable.
Seriously, you know what's always struck me about that?
What?
And this is something that's traditional about it. This goes back to when Dad owned the company, and you've experienced the same thing.
Yeah.
Normally, the people that don't pay, or at least delay paying you, are the big companies.
Yeah, yeah. They have money, and they're driving Land Rovers, and the wives have Porsches, and they have $4 million dogs and equestrian horses. And, you know, boy, when they need something, you can reach them any old time. When you got to get paid, you don't hear from them ever again, you know. And when you hang out with them on a big job, you see their cell phone. Every time it rings, they're looking at it. So they know it's you when you're calling.
Of course they do.
It just makes you mad.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. you're like, oh, my God. He knows it's me, and he puts me to voicemail. So
I know. The worst.
Anyway, that's the down part. Everything else is great. We're having a big family party tonight. So, of course, it's raining like crazy, but we're going to have 20 people in our little house. So,
wow.
Yeah, my poor wife, she did all the work herself. She cooked a 30-pound turkey. So,
oh,
whatever.
Mercy.
Yeah, I did nothing. So
I will be there in an hour.
Yeah, you're welcome to come.
you might as well. Everybody else is showing.
Right.
Yeah.
With these picks that I have, I'm going to need it.
You're welcome. But it's kind of a long drive for you.
All right, it'll be worth it.
She's a great cook. Unbelievable cook. All gluten-free and all that stuff, so we're good to go. So lots of cookies, too. I can't wait. But I'm not allowed to eat them. But what I do is I load up, I pocket them, you know. It doesn't matter. Remember me and Chris?
Oh, jeez. In New York?
No, not New York. We were in the booth. And they
oh, that's right.
Out.
Oh,
and,
oh, I remember this.
We got home. We had like a dozen cookies and donuts, and it was great. So.
I remember.
The good old days.
And so did the accountants. No, I'm just kidding.
And now you just stare at them longingly.
Steal the hot dogs, you know. No one will know what's missing. So. But that was a little bit thinner then. But I'm losing more weight. It's good. All good.
Good.
So, yeah.
That's great.
I'm ripped. Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
I'm ripped.
I'm not surprised. He's ripped.
So, who do you think's going to win this weekend?
Football.
Well, we're about to pick.
Does anyone have what our records are?
I do not.
Sean does, but Sean did not text it to me.
Yes, I have no idea. You'll have to get that from him next week.
I was keeping track of all of it, and then I kind of lost track when we got into the college things, the 40, 50 games we did.
But. Oh, I know.
How's the basketball team doing?
12-6, got Nebraska tonight at home at 7.
Are they good?
Nebraska's also 12-6. So this is kind of a key game. Yeah, it is
good
a big game.
How are the crowds?
Okay. Hoping they get better. But the students, for the first time, are back tonight. So I think that will help. That'll help. And they've got tonight, and they've got Minnesota on Monday night. Hopefully that'll make a difference.
Good. Good, good, good. So
that's when I'm open.
There's some good football games this weekend.
You know, I like that. I like these matchups, except for Saturday night. I don't like that matchup at all. But I think other than that, good matchups.
Yeah. What's that, the Patriots-Tennessee?
You
want to take these in order?
Let's go. Take them in order, my man.
All right, we have Atlanta at Philadelphia. Atlanta is favored in this one. It's the first time a number one seed is an underdog at home ever.
All right, Kevin, I'll let you go first.
I'm going to take Philly. I rode them all year. I don't trust Atlanta. Atlanta's up and down. I know Atlanta's been there, and they know what they're doing. They got players that have been to the Super Bowl, but I'm going to let Nick Folk go. Philadelphia can run the ball, and they got a great defense. I'm going to take Philly at home.
All right, Chris, who do you have?
Well, Sean Carey has the Atlanta Falcons, just so you know. I have his picks with me. And me personally, I think Philly pulls this one out, although I think there's going to be some real scary moments, and Eagles fans are going to be pulling their hair out on this one. But I think Jay Ajayi gets it done, and that defense holds it down in the cold weather. I think Philly pulls it out.
I think for Philadelphia to win, Jay Ajayi has to have a good game, really good game. I'm talking 20 to 25 touches in the cold. I think the pass rush needs to be there for Philadelphia, led by Fletcher Cox. Needs to be. All that said, because Atlanta actually does have a running game, and I think moving Vic Beasley back to defensive end and pass rushing him instead of playing games with him at linebacker makes a difference. There's a reason Nick Foles is a backup. I think the reason is exposed this weekend, Atlanta.
All right.
Don't forget LeGarrette Blount. He'd been there.
Yeah, he's been there and he's done well, but I mean, they got Ajayi for a reason. This is the reason.
Yep.
And I just want to say one more time, Eagles fans out there, if you lose this game, you weren't supposed to be there. So just take this season as what it is and look forward to next year. If you lose this one, it's not that bad. It's not the end of the world.
Sounds good, Chris.
Well, I can already feel the tension in Eagles fans. I can already feel it. I can already feel the, oh, my God, this is the end. Yeah.
With Carson Wentz, though, I would have made the favorite for the whole thing.
Oh, absolutely, I agree with you.
See, that's
totally
the issue.
Totally agree with you. All right, game two, Tennessee travels to New England to take on the Patriots, the much broken-up Patriots, apparently. Apparently, they're not a cohesive unit right now. So you got Tennessee at New England.
Kevin go first. This time, I'll just go first. The Patriots are going to just woodshed this team next.
don't buy into a lot of that's the press. That I follow it close because I'm here in New England. I listen to all the Boston stations. I've listened to Brady. I've listened to Belichick. And they're just like, there's nothing wrong, you know, and people keep building up more and more, and it's just like, all right, well, we've got our, if we make it this year, our eighth Super Bowl or five Super Bowl wins, you know, I wouldn't buy a lot into it because of the press. New England will win this game easily.
Sean Kerry also has the Patriots. I agree. If the Patriots don't win this one by at least three touchdowns, I'd be stunned.
Yeah. So they're tough at home.
All right.
And the weather's going to be awful. So.
All right. That's Saturday. We're on to Sunday. We got Jacksonville at Pittsburgh, the Sean Kerry Bowl. What do we got?
Jacksonville at Pittsburgh. Jacksonville's offense has been sputtering, and you cannot sputter against Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh gets its revenge and will be playing New England in the championship game.
Sean Kerry clearly has the Steelers, without a doubt, and he'll be living and dying in the stands with all the Steeler Nation. I feel that this is going to also have some tense moments for the Steelers, but they pull it out in the end, thus setting up the AFC Championship game that we all deserve.
They will crush this team. They will crush them. This will not be a competitive game by halftime. In fact, I think the Steelers will shut them out.
Wow. I think you may be right.
I think they're going to crush them.
Isn't that Blake Bortles, the quarterback?
Yes.
Again, yeah. I think they'll shut them out.
I think you're seeing that these moments are a little bit too big for him.
Well,
so.
The good news here is that I will be here Monday to answer and take the beating on this, but I see like a 20-14, 2017 victory for the Steelers. I think this is way closer than you think it is. I think that Jacksonville, you're not giving their defense enough credit, and I think Ben is prone to make mistakes, and Antonio Brown's not fully healthy. So I think it's closer than you think, but I do think the Steelers win.
They will crush this team.
All right.
Okay.
Well, I can't wait to answer for it.
Jacksonville's defense is excellent.
Yes, they are.
To me, the problem with Jacksonville right now is their offense is sputtering. You know,
but any good defense, you want to know how you can take any good defense apart? By an offense that doesn't generate anything, and the defense is constantly going out there with short fields,
and is constant
all the time, and the pressure's on them to keep them from scoring, and at some point you break. In fact, I think the Steelers are going to come out of the gate, and they're going to fly it. It's going to look like Secretariat.
Well, Jacksonville embarrassed them. I was here at the shop. I listened to that game on the radio. That did not sit well with them. They've got a reason beyond going to the championship to win that game, so... They got to show that. I mean, they were embarrassed by them. So
all right,
they will shut this team out.
We shall see. It's me against the Joneses and Sean Carroll. I mean, we all agree the Steelers are going to win this game. But
oh no, let's listen, baby. Ends up 20-14. We'll praise you.
Yeah, it's all semantical at this point. But
guess what? Okay, it'll still count as a win. We all pick Pittsburgh.
Absolutely. And then the final game of the weekend, me and Steve said earlier that we agreed this was the game of the weekend. It's New Orleans Saints Drew Brees heading to Minnesota indoor dome game. Minnesota Vikings with Case Keenum at the helm. What are we going to get out of Case Keenum?
Totally impressed with Minnesota, and I love Drew Brees. This is a happy game. I'm going to pick Minnesota, but I would be elated if New Orleans won the game, but I think Minnesota is just a better team right now, but not by much. Could be a shootout. Think it will be, but I'm taking Minnesota.
All right.
I think Minnesota's going to go to the Super Bowl.
Wow, interesting.
And that would be just incredible.
To host the Super Bowl, that would be interesting.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That would just be awesome.
Sean Kerry has the Saints, and I have to agree with him. I see, and I say whoever wins this game, you can get my Super Bowl pick out of the NFC right now. Whoever wins this game, in my opinion, unless there's a massive injury to the winner, will go to the Super Bowl, and I pick Drew Brees. And that defense is coming together at the right time, and they have a good running game. And Drew Brees, I think he's poised to try to ride off into the sunset. I think he'll retire if he wins the Super Bowl this season.
Wow.
Good pick.
Wow. Well, entire pick is based on real estate. If this game were in New Orleans, I would pick the Saints. But this game's in Minnesota, I'm going to pick the Vikings. I know running games travel, so between Kamara and Ingram, pretty good. I just think home field, that 3 points that home field can mean, I think means something here. And this entire pick is based on where the game's being played. If the game were at the Superdome, I'd pick the Saints.
Yep. That's why every game in the NFL counts. That home field advantage is huge in the playoffs, especially for the Vikings. That place is going to be rocking.
It is going to be loud. I mean, yep. That, I'll tell you, it's a really interesting place. Have you guys ever seen it?
Yeah, but not
I've seen it on
really.
TV. I haven't seen it in person.
Never been there. Have you been there?
Yes. And it's really a remarkable place. It's all glass on one end, and the Audubon Society got all over their case about the glass on the one end. Why? Because birds don't see it and fly into it.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that's been a problem. But it looks in some ways like a Viking ship. The way
wow,
it's built.
That's cool.
That's pretty
it
rad.
Really is. I mean, I remember going to Minnesota when the dome collapsed. I was there 2 weeks after the dome had collapsed, when the snow ripped the roof and the Giants and the Vikings had to go play at in Detroit at Ford Field. And I remember going past the deflated roof going, wow. Then I was there a year later when they were taking a wrecking ball to it. Dome's gone, roof's off, the whole thing. And I stood there one day while they were taking down the scoreboard with a wrecking ball, because our hotel's two blocks away.
Wow.
And then I've watched them build the thing. It's been really kind of neat to see.
Amazing place.
Yeah, I mean, gorgeous place. In fact, last year when I was there for basketball, Minnesota's baseball team was playing a game inside there.
Wow.
So they could do that, too. I mean, now, obviously, the Twins have their own ballpark, and the Twins ballpark is beautiful.
Yes, it is.
Really
yeah.
Nice place. It's right back at the Target Center where they play basketball. But, yeah, they've really got something going on. Because I don't think people realize the hockey team, the Wild, do not play in Minneapolis. They play actually over in St. Paul.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
This is true.
Yeah. Wow. So something like Rensselaer Field in East Hartford.
No.
Not at all, actually.
No. That's always a running joke between Kevin and me. Look, why did you build it there? Why? You have a campus. Bring people there. Bring them on campus. Oh, that state is so backwards.
It's built on Pratt & Whitney's old grounds, so you know the grounds are all contaminated with God knows what, you know. And they have a UConn football game there, and if UConn is behind at all, by the third quarter, the place is empty. There's like 18 people in the stands, and they got this big sign, best student section in the voted best student section in the country, and there's nobody in it. There's like two or three people. Maybe the cheerleaders sit there.
See, that's what's called resting on your laurels.
It's the most behaved student section. They never get in trouble.
Yeah. Well, they may be out in the parking lot getting bombed, but there's nobody in the stadium.
They party so hard.
It's a joke.
They party so hard they don't even make it to the game. They're just...
Yeah.
Well, that was always my point about...
Though, Chris, is the stadium is 45 minutes away from the UConn campus.
Yeah.
So
not
in
close.
Order for the students to tailgate, then they got to get drunk and drive home. It's insane.
Which we all encourage. Yeah. I mean, that's
if you see the store's campus, which with basketball they'll show this and that. You could build four stadiums on their campus.
Yeah.
It's all farmland. Mm-hmm. And
you know what's funny about that, Kev?
Huh?
You know what's funny about that? I've never once been on UConn's campus.
It's a beautiful campus.
I've never been there. I mean, grew up there, the whole thing, never once have been there.
Yeah, there's not much there. It's very similar to Penn State's, to be honest with you. It's a lot of farmland. It's a beautiful campus, and they could have built a stadium right there, but they said you can't build a stadium in stores because there's only one road in and one road out. And people were calling, it was Jody Ambrosio's radio show, and they were all calling, have you ever been to Penn State? They said there's one road in and one road out, and they seemed to manage it, you know. And he agreed. He said, yeah, they should have built it on campus. They can't recruit. The football team stinks because they can't recruit.
Well, remember, they're part of that gauntlet that Central Florida has to run.
Yeah. True.
They play for
big win
they,
for
don't
Central
they play for
Florida.
Some fraud
they
trophy? don't they play for some fraud trophy or something like that?
Yeah, and they had a parade and all kinds of stuff. Hey, they were undefeated, and they did. They beat Auburn up. They didn't just win the game.
Oh, no. Well, no, I'm talking about UConn and Central Florida. I think they play a game where you get a trophy.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't maybe. But I don't know. UConn's horrible. I don't.
Well, what's not horrible, what's awesome, is Brewers Outlet and Sunbury Motors. Have a great weekend.